You're going to look great, Dinah assures her on Tuesday evening, pinning the front of Artemis' hair back and tying it together in a twisted loop around the rest of it, which cascades down to her back. He's going to regret not taking you to that dance.
Are we forgetting who bailed on who here, Dinah?
Artemis mutters, and Dinah sighs, pats his shoulder, and says nothing more.
At least wear a sweater,
Oliver says gruffly, when Dinah ushers her out to the motorcycle.
Yes, Mom.
Artemis and Roy sing in harmony. Frankly, Artemis doesn't really know how she got here. It had started with Wally picking the wrong time to answer the door to Zatanna's house, and it had lulled with a party full of people Artemis is pretty sure neither she nor Wally know, and it had ended, as most horror stories do, with the glass neck of an empty bottle pointing resolutely from Wally to her, while Zatanna and Dick's melodiously evil laughs rocketed up to the ceiling in unison. The inside of Zatanna's closet reeks of flowery perfume and mothballs, and Artemis is pretty sure that the dress she just bumped into just rained glitter down on her face. She splutters, wiping at her nose as Wally closes the door behind them.
And, okay, it's a walk-in closet, so at least it's mildly spacious, but everything is frilly and every skirt is short, and she's in the leather corner, and it's rapidly becoming apparent that Wally smells kind of nice.
And we're in the dark, she deadpans, slumping against the wall.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, most closets tend to be dark,
Wally snips back. She hears him rustling around a few inches away.
Ow! I think my ankle just hit a horizontal stiletto.
Sounds serious. You want me to call 911?
Artemis sneers.
She hits the back of her head against the wall 3 rhythmic times. Why is this her life?
I think I'll survive.
Wally sounds exceptionally snide, but to be fair, she isn't exactly the picture of pleasantry either, she guesses. Kinda hard to be perky when she's been fighting off his unwavering hatred for the past 2 weeks.
Silence starts to swell up in the cramped space between them, except for the distant thumping of Zatanna's music.
Artemis chews her lip, hard, and tries to keep her eyes on the sparkliest dress in her line of visibility.
It's very purple.
Happy birthday, she mumbles, barely even comprehensible.
Wally clears his throat quietly, scratching his cheek.
Not my happiest, he says after a second. But thanks anyway.
She gives him a flat look.
What don't you have to be happy about? Zatanna invited the entire school to your stupid party, and you've got a stack of gifts the approximate height and density of Mount Kilimanjaro. There's about 2 tables decked out in a smorgasbord of every kind of junk food imaginable, and Megan's skirt is pretty short by her standards.
She scoffs.
Sounds like an ideal Wally West birthday to me.
That's funny, considering you don't even know me, he snaps.
Artemis has to resist the instinct to physically wince.
Ouch. Well, I've been making an effort in case you hadn't noticed.
She bites back instead. Even in the dark, she can see his nose wrinkle into a sneer.
I hadn't, actually. Maybe you could stand to look harder,
she barks, throwing her arm out.
It crashes into a fascinator.
She doesn't even care.
Look, I'm sorry I missed the stupid dance, okay? Because as difficult as it might be for you to grasp, I did actually want to go. And with you, as a matter of fact. But what?
He demands.
You never got around to divulging that little bit of info.
Artemis blinks, and her mouth snaps closed because,
she can't divulge that little bit of info, and her life is a wreck. But something else came up.
She sputters out while she deflates, her raised shoulders slackening.
Her voice softens against her will and is practically hanging her head.
I'm sorry, all right? How many times do you need to hear it? Because I'll say it as many times as you want. That's literally how much I care about whether or not you like me, jerk off.
The song outside ends and changes to something slower. Artemis's eyes, now adjusted to the darkness, stay fixated on Wally's flushed face.
At least she thinks it's flushed. It's dim, and he has freckles, and her heart is beating really fast, so she has bigger things to worry about.
That's not what I need to hear, he mutters, crossing his arms. He leans against the wall and sinks down to sit on the floor, before shifting around so that he's facing away from her.
Do you seriously have to be so... so...
She gesticulates wildly, angrily.
Cryptic all the time? I'm not one of the Hardy Boys, Wally. Throw me a bone.
He doesn't say anything.
She huffs enormously and drops her arms to her sides.
After a second, she's down on the floor with him, turned away from his back with her knees raised.
I can't stand you, she whispers.
Sorry, he replies quietly.
Before she even notices what she's doing, she's kind of tilted back until her back meets his. He doesn't stiffen or draw away or break her nose with his elbow, which she guesses is kind of a good sign.
She closes her eyes. He's really warm. His breathing is slow and even, and she can feel the muscles in his shoulders moving against hers. Cautiously, she rests the back of her head against the nape of his neck.
Look, I...
She bites the inside of her cheek, her eyebrows wrestling against each other.
I'll explain eventually, okay? If you could just stand to be patient for 5 seconds in your life.
She inclines her head slightly toward him.
I promise.
He lets out a quiet, and shrugs, slowly, before sinking again, his weight melding with hers instead of bearing down on her.
How much longer do we have?
He asks after a while, and it hums against her. She sighs through her nose.
Too long.
I don't know. You seem comfortable.
Please don't be gross. We're having a moment.
His head rotates slightly.
Are we?
After a beat, she mirrors him. Her cheek bumps lightly against his and sends a jolt of something weird down her spine.
Kind of, she murmurs.
The ambient song outside reaches a muffled crescendo, and suddenly the closet seems much smaller. Wally seems much closer, and much less unlikable, and her hands feel a lot more unsteady.
Wait, that's because Wally is much closer.
He's turned tightly against her so that she has a full view of his face, which happens to be exuding a lot of comfortable warmth, by the way. And his body is at a really weird angle, and his left palm is flat on the floor next to her butt, and suddenly she's turning, too. There's a perplexed frown flickering in and out of his face, and his mouth is just barely open, like he's about to say something but keeps forgetting what it is. His eyes slide, gradually, down to her chin.
Do I have something on my face? She says. All brilliantly, like this is one of those horrible movies Megan made her watch on Tuesday.
Yeah, Wally mutters back, in a low voice that pinches her stomach. Matter of fact, it's your whole face that's the problem.
That's ironic, she rasps, and then clears her throat sharply to restore some freaking dignity to her voice. Coming from the biggest face wreck of all time.
You really know how to dish out a compliment, he says. But the corner of his mouth is turned up, and she can hear a low chuckle in the back of his throat. I try to make him count. She has to physically fight the hoarseness out of her voice. Were she not in present company, she'd be punching herself repeatedly in the face. His eyelids lower. So, she replies in a whisper. Her insides won't stop wavering around. She's pretty sure they're practically breathing against each other's teeth now, and her eyes are doing this funny thing where they keep trying to close. Wally gulps, and it makes his Adam's apple bob. And up close, she can smell his deodorant, and he smells like clean laundry and barbecue smoke and boy. And it really shouldn't be such a nice smell, you know? The closet is remarkably warm all of a sudden. His nose just grazed hers. Her fingers kind of nudge into his of their own accord. He wets his lips, fleetingly, with a red tongue, and Artemis's gut jerks up at the sight. "Here we are," he murmurs, and his blink is slow. "In this closet, on this lovely Friday evening." "It's a nice closet," she hears someone say in her voice. It cannot be her, because at this point, she's almost positive that she lost all motor function the moment she felt his breath on her mouth. "Very, different," he supplies, sounding distracted. He won't stop looking at her chin. Why is he looking at her chin? I wasn't really getting good vibes from it at first, but, you know, after further exposure, I think I could get used to it. This closet, I mean. "I thought it was a cool closet from the start, personally," Artemis whispers, "until it decided that it couldn't stand me for some reason." "You're losing the metaphor." His voice is so quiet, she's surprised she can even hear him anymore. "I know," she breathes. His fingers ghost over her wrist, and then up to her elbow, and his hand clasps around it, and he closes his eyes and tilts his head, and Artemis's heart jumps up into her tongue, and her mouth opens just barely, and Wally's shaky sigh hits her lips, and then someone knocks on the door. 7 minutes are up, idiots," Zatanna chirps from the other side. "You have 10 seconds to get out before I arrest you for indecency in front of my go-go boots." Artemis only hears about half of that, because as soon as the sharp sound had hit the wood of the door, Wally had let out a yelp of surprise and jumped, accidentally slamming his forehead into her nose. She collapses back, limbs flung, cursing. The stars currently dancing around her eyelids must be censoring her. "Artemis!" he exclaims, surging forward until he's, for some reason, on all fours over her. He swiftly reaches for the light switch and clicks the overhead lamp on. And once robins stop fluttering around her head, Artemis can kind of distinguish him staring down at her with unabashed concern, prodding at her very painfully throbbing nose and gently holding her chin, turning her head slightly from side to side. "No, wait, the robins are definitely still there. And she thinks there are 2 Wallys in there with her now? Jackpot." "Your Majesty," she giggles for no reason. He looks horrified. "Your nose is bleeding," he splutters. "I made your nose bleed. You have a nosebleed from my head. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Here, come on." "You're pardoned," she snickers, as he slings her arm around his shoulders and hoists her to her feet. "Wally's gonna kill me." "Who?" Wally grunts distractedly, attempting to maneuver the two of them to the door through the curtains of unfettered razzle-dazzle and chicness. Artemis promptly chokes on her own spit.
"No one. No one. Sorry."
Wally huffs and nudges the door handle down with his elbow, towing it all the way open. He guides Artemis out of Zatanna's room and down the hall into the bathroom, with its black marble sink top and white marble toilet seat cover. The Zataras have a thing for marble, apparently. He pulls the cover down with his foot and sets her down on it, making a hand motion at her forearms like he's afraid she'll topple over, before leaning down for the medicine cabinet, flinging open the mirrored door and rummaging around. Artemis blinks at herself.
Her nose is bleeding.
Some of it got in her hair. Oh, thank God Dinah insisted she wear black. She puts a self-conscious hand over it in an admittedly lame attempt at stemming the flow, tilting her head back.
No, don't do that!
Wally yells, bounding toward her. She flings her hands apart and raises them stiffly at either side of her head, staring owlishly at him. He lets out a breath, loosening, before returning to the cabinet.
You're not supposed to lean back, he explains in that scientist voice of his. You might ingest some of your own blood, and then it'll irritate your trachea and probably cause vomiting. So, cease and desist.
What am I supposed to do, then? She snaps.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a...
Ugh, he groans and throws some tissues at her. Sit forward and pinch your nose at the sinuses and try not to make this place look like a crime scene, okay? Just relax.
Artemis stuffs the wad of tissues over her nose and does as she's told.
So this is what 7 minutes in hell feels like. Noted.
Wally loiters by the sink, half hovering over her and half trying to look like he doesn't care, rubbing the back of his neck. The music in the main room is back to sounding like somebody in combat boots is kicking the wall, but with pillows in the way. It's a complicated analogy, but seriously, Artemis just got a nosebleed instead of a kiss. How is she supposed to be on the ball here?
I'm fine, she eventually insists, sniffing slightly.
Go back to the party. I'm sure Megan's beside herself without you.
He shifts from one foot to the other uncertainly, folding his lips in.
Don't she notice? He says.
When he glances back at her, though, his eyes are uncertain.
You sure?
Yeah, she assures him with a wave of her hand. It's your party, idiot. You're ruining it by not being out there.
I don't feel like I should...
Level with me, Wally,
Artemis says flatly.
Would you rather go out and celebrate your 16th birthday with a bunch of popular people you don't know, among them your one true love, Megan, or be caught in here when Zatanna notices the blood all over her very expensive bath rug?
Point taken, he replies immediately, swinging his arms back and forth.
He reaches toward her shoulder.
She shoots him a look. He withdraws, grimaces, and lightly, no, stiffly, punches her in the arm.
Thanks for the tip, he tells her awkwardly.
Pal.
No problem, she retorts,
a little more coldly than she'd planned.
Amigo.
He makes a face and steps backward, groping around for the doorknob for a good 15 seconds before he realizes the door's already open. Artemis kind of gets this funny sinking feeling in her tottery stomach, watching him turn away and vanish around the corner. It starts to well up, higher and higher, through her chest and up her throat, until it's pressing against the back of her prickling eyes. She ducks her head swiftly and pinches her nose more tightly. No way is she going to give in to this crap.
Artemis?
She looks up sharply.
Oh.
He's back. His shoulders and head are sticking around the edge of the doorframe, and his fingers are splayed against the wall. She swallows, and it sounds like the loudest and most obvious thing in the world.
Yeah?
She perks up way too quickly and seriously considers ritual suicide. While his eyes dart to the floor, to her bare feet, they linger on her ankles.
Do I get an ETA for this whole revelation thing?
He asks,
sounding uncharacteristically imploring.
Because I don't know how much longer I can deal with feeling like a chump, you know?
Artemis opens and closes her mouth wordlessly. He blinks down at her. And the longer she goes without being able to conjure up a response, the more stung he starts to look.
Fine, he mutters, recoiling.
You, she blurts out, and he pauses, glancing back at her. Artemis's heart and tongue and wit are all floundering at the way his eyes survey every inch of her, at the way the green looks like a pair of headlights flooding everything inside of her with clarity. She still doesn't know whether or not she hates it.
You're not a chump,
she settles on saying, hoping it'll be enough. Wally holds her gaze for a beat long enough to make her fingers start to curl, and then he blows out a breath, pivots slowly around, and walks away. Artemis kicks the metal toilet paper holder and stuffs her face into her hands. She doesn't really know how much longer she stays in there, but she assumes that it's a while, because about 10 people come by to knock on the door, and when she finally wipes her nose and uses Atana's cold cream to take off her makeup and sheds her heels and wanders out to the living room again, everyone but Zatanna is gone, and Wally's gone to Dick's for the night. Artemis walks home barefoot, all by herself. She can hear voices beyond the apartment door when she gets there, which distracts her pretty efficiently from the fact that she had to run 2 blocks to avoid getting her leg chewed off by a stray dog. She's about to put her key in and open it, but she recognizes a couple of the tones as Dinah's and Oliver's, and the third as her mom's. So she lowers her hand and presses her ear to the wood. "You're telling me," her mom is choking out, but she sounds more elated than grief-stricken. "You're telling me that that they just found each other? She is... My girl is in Star City?" "Apparently Roy was on his way home from a bar one night and stopped her from robbing a bank," Dinah murmurs. "They've been living together for a little over a year. Roy only just told us."
"Uncanny, isn't it?" Oliver says. "Jade runs off in the middle of the night and she just happens to wind up in Star City, 3 blocks away from Roy Harper."
Artemis jams her key in and wrenches the door open.
"What?"
she shouts. Not caring if she wakes up Mr. Enigma, not caring if she wakes up Mr. Mala, not caring if a plane crashes through the window and kills them all. Louder, more shrilly, more brokenly, she
screams,
"What?" "Artemis," Paula exclaims, wide-eyed. Oliver's eyes flick to Dinah, to Paula, to Artemis, to Dinah again, then finally come to rest on Artemis. He shrugs, a little helplessly.
"Surprise,"
he says. New text message from unknown number.
"'Twas Brillig and the Slivy Toves, and the Gyre and Gimble and the Wabe."
Unknown number. "Add 2 contacts? Yes. Enter new contact's name.
Jade. Jade.
Was added to your contacts."
"Jade's coming to the ball." "Jade is going to be at the ball in December. Artemis is going to see Jade. Jade's coming to the ball."
All of these sentences, and a few creative variations, run nonstop through Artemis's head over the next few days, and suddenly the fact that Wally looks at her with dolefulness instead of spite now is the absolute last of her priorities. You know the story, just the same as she does. There's no miracle, no chase, no sudden reveal, no tears. Jade is just
alive. And Jade is just fine. And Jade is just the person who's been sending her those creepy texts all these years. And Jade is just Roy's girlfriend, and Jade is just coming to the Royal Ball on December 2nd. And Artemis is just seconds away from a stroke, which is totally not conducive to her academic productivity, but her teachers have been pretty forgiving, except for Miss Thal, who threatened her with a left hook if she didn't shape up on her jumpy jacks. Artemis? Mr. Kent calls from the front of the classroom. They're reading Heart of Darkness aloud for analysis. Will you read the next passage, please? Artemis clears her throat. She's basically on autopilot at this point. Probably explains why she accidentally jumped her Jell-O cup on a freshman's head yesterday instead of eating it. And I saw that something restraining, one of those human secrets that baffle probability, had come into play there. I looked at them with swift quickening of interest. Not because it occurred to me I might be eaten by them before very long, though I own to you that just then I had perceived, in a new light as it were, how unwholesome the pilgrims looked, and I hoped, yes, I positively hoped, that my aspect was not so, what shall I say? So unappetizing. A touch of fantastic vanity which fitted well with the dream sensation that pervaded all my days at that time. Perhaps I had a little fever, too. One can't live with one's finger everlastingly on one's pulse. Thank you, Mr. Kent says briskly. Next, Mr. West? Wally reads through the next paragraph with his usual rapidity, stumbling over the occasional word and making every syllable sound like a running footstep. But Artemis sits there and stares in wonder at the open page in front of her, and the tiniest smile starting to dawn on her face. One can't live with one's finger everlastingly on one's pulse. Bibbo's Diner, how can I help you? Hi, Artemis says, cradling the home phone between her shoulder and ear. I'd like to order a pizza for special delivery.
You betcha. Where is that to?
132 Mountain Drive.
Name of the recipient?
Wally.
All right, miss. And what kind of pizza is it that you'd like?
M&M special.
M&M special. You got it. Anything else?
Yeah. Can you make a message with the M&Ms?
Sure thing. What message would you like?
Artemis sucks in a breath. Sorry. She's in the middle of one of her favorite dreams. The one where she and Zatanna feed Dick to a pack of weasels? And she's just about to get to the good part, when the sound of rhythmic tapping against the glass of her window jerks her awake. She hums churlishly, blinking eyes rocky with sleepiness, and squints at the clock on her bedside table. It's almost 3 a.m. Jade is still snoring, curled against Artemis's stomach. Fat ass. Artemis groans and rolls over so that she's spread-eagled on her back, swiping her finger over her eyes and flicking the crust in the corners off onto the floor. If it's that freaking pigeon again, or worse, Dick, she's going to break something in half. Probably the pigeon, or if it's Dick, Dick's legs. She clambers out of bed and stumbles blindly over to the window with closed eyes and a tetchy frown, lurching to a halt a few inches in front of it. She opens her eyes. She has to clap a hand over her mouth so hard that it hurts to keep herself from screaming, but tears still well up instantly in her eyes, just out of shock. Jade, perched on the platform of the fire escape, in a hoodie and camo capris and black high tops and a slouchy gray beanie, smirks and tilts her head.
Hello, she says. Muffled through the glass. I believe I have a reservation.
Jade, her estranged sister, not Jade the cat. Artemis fumbles for the window latch without taking her eyes off her sister's, because she's a about 85% sure that if she does, this will turn out to be a dream significantly more painful than seeing Dick be carried off by weasels. And that's the last thing she needs. Jade's black hair is still bushy and unfettered, shagging out under the beanie and grazing her thin, dark eyebrows. Her face is a little older, a little harder, but her eyes are still the same steely, stormy gray, and cheeks still conform to a smug smile with unnatural ease. Artemis's clumsy fingers finally clasp the latch, and she undoes it, yanking the lower pane up. "Why, thank you," Jade coos, dipping her head and somersaulting in, landing perfectly on the floor. She straightens with a brisk inhale through her nose, surveying the room with calculating eyes. "I like what you've done with the place. Very homey." Her eyes fall on Jade the cat, still snoozing lump of a form. "Precious," she comments, and she still hasn't turned around to look at Artemis, but to be fair, Artemis still hasn't moved away from the window, her gaze fixated on the rainy sky outside. "What's his name?" "Her," Artemis corrects her weakly. "Her name is Jade." There's a beat, but then Jade starts chuckling, and when Artemis's body sways into functionality and she pivots around to face Jade, she sees that Jade's head is thrown back and her mouth is wide open in an unbridled grin. Jade finishes her laugh and drops her chin, leering at Artemis over her shoulder. "You miss me, Boogerface?" "No," Artemis lies. Jade hums and shrugs languidly, ambling over to the foot of the bed. She plops down on it, and Jade the cat still doesn't wake up, even though the impact jostles her significantly. "Mom asleep?" Jade asks quietly. "What do you think?" Artemis bites back. Jade nods. "I thought so. How is she?" "Better," Artemis says tersely, "now that she knows you're actually alive." Jade fakes a wince. "Ow. Really gonna play the guilt card, sis? I'm crushed." "Good to know you know how it feels," Artemis hisses, her voice icy. She's wide awake now, every pore electrified, every joint stony. "Why are you here?" Jade lifts her shoulders again, her mouth tilting. She looks as deviously apathetic as she always does, but older, with a hickey on the side of her neck and a long white scar on the back of her left hand. "Wanted to check up on my baby sis," she answers, stretching languorously like a cat waking up from a nap. "Now that my secret's out, now that her secret's out, is that a crime?" "The secret about you living a couple of hours away from us for the past 3 years?" Artemis snaps. "Or the one about you doing the nasty with the Prince of Latava?" "Who said anything about us doing the nasty?" Jade exclaims in mock scandalized horror, her hand flying to her chest. "Even though it's absolutely true. Don't tell me you think it's wrong. He's not related to anyone in the royal family by blood, and it's not like we grew up together thanks to Dad's little get-out-of-Latava-free move. So technically there's nothing gross about it." She grins slyly. "Actually, you don't know how ungross it is." "Spare me the details," Artemis barks, folding her arms tightly. She pauses, and Jade's words start to catch up to her. "Wait, so you knew about this? This whole Latava thing? Seriously?" Jade snorts. "Of course I did, dumbass. Why do you think I made a run for it? I may have all the inhuman good looks of a monarch, but a life of responsibility and rules is so not up my alley." "And you think it's up mine?" Artemis exclaims, throwing her arms out. "Thanks for dumping it all on me, Jade. I really appreciate it. Super commendable of you." Jade rolls her eyes enormously and waves a hand at Artemis. "I see you haven't gotten any quieter," she deadpans and yawns.
I don't see you shirking your royal duties, though. So maybe it's a bit more up your alley than you'd like to think. She leers. You always were the goody little two-shoes.
Was not, Artemis protests, her cheeks puffing out indignantly. I broke a car window once, and I stole a roll of lifesavers.
Ah, Jade nods sarcastically. Life on the edge.
Are you seriously doing this? Artemis snarls incredulously. Just showing up outside my window after ditching me and Mom and talking to me like nothing's changed?
Jade shrugs innocently. Have things changed?
Yeah, Jade! Just a little!
Artemis has to work pretty hard to keep from screaming. She should get a medal.
I don't know if you got the memo, but thanks to you and your stupid boyfriend being a couple of cowards, I'm going to inherit the Vlatavan throne in 5 years.
She gesticulates furiously at nothing.
That qualify as a change?
Gosh, Jade croons. Excuse me for wanting to catch up. Do you still have that Butterfinger stash under your mattress?
Before Artemis can retort properly, Jade has lifted up the corner of the mattress and stuck her hand under it, rummaging around.
Jade, don't!
Artemis starts to protest, but Jade's eyes have already lit up in triumph. But when her hand emerges again, it's not holding a candy bar. It's holding the bundle of old photographs that Artemis never looks at.
Oh, boy, sis, are there naked boys in here?
Jade snickers, holding them up so she can examine them properly in the light from the street lamps outside. After a few seconds, after she flips through 5 or 6 of them, her contemptuous smirk starts to fade, and her face to soften.
These are of all of us, she mutters unreadably. I thought you'd have thrown these away.
Artemis looks away. The images flip through her mind. Jade hugging her from behind at the park on her, Artemis's, 10th birthday. Jade and Artemis beaming with muddy faces and hands, holding up frogs. Jade skateboarding down the sidewalk in front of the apartment building with her hand forming the sign of the horns and her tongue stuck out rebelliously.
Just because you threw me away doesn't mean I had to return the favor,
Artemis mumbles. Jade sighs through her nose and doesn't speak again until she's scrutinized every photo in the bundle, which number about 30. And when she's finished, she wraps them back up in their rubber band and puts them under the mattress again before standing. It's cool that you came and all, Artemis continues in a dull hush, but I don't even know what to say to you. And I have class in the morning and bigger problems than catching you up on all the emotional havoc you caused, so... She steps aside, opening a clear path to the window. It'd be great if you could just go away. Congrats on getting a better life for yourself without us. Go live it. She closes her eyes, her mouth stretched into a grim line. After a few moments, she hears Jade's sneakers squeak on the floor closer to her, and she feels Jade's shoulders brush hers as she approaches the window. And she dares to open her eyes just in time to see Jade's feet. I hope they don't make me wear a dress to your ball. Jade sighs quietly. But even if they do, I'll still come. So, I guess I'll see you then, Your Grace. Artemis doesn't move, doesn't breathe, doesn't lower her shoulders, until she hears the window close behind her and counts 16 clangs against the rungs of the fire escape, growing further and further away, each by each.
Artemis sprints down the block to school, halting every few seconds to try tying the laces of her left Doc Marten. Her hair flies out wildly behind her, and her tights have a rod in them, and some of Jade's fur is still matted on her blazer, and she still smells a little bit like Oliver's lime air freshener from the villa, and she kind of wishes that she could do that prim princess walk right now, but she's late for school thanks to Jade's stupid drop-in last night, and princesses shouldn't be late for school, and oh, crap, she thinks she forgot her World Civ homework.
She flies around the corner without looking where she's going, and she almost smashes into Zatanna and Wally, who apparently are also indulging in tardiness. Not much of a surprise on Zatanna's end, but a big one on Wally's. Or, well, okay, she avoids hitting Zatanna, but in redirecting herself, she manages to plow straight into Wally. Zatanna's already chortle snorting when they both hit the pavement, and Artemis is saved from being thrown forward and probably breaking her neck by Wally managing to brace her at the shoulders. Her half-open backpack is not as kind, spewing her pens and stapler out over the concrete.
Nice turn, Swan Queen,
Zatanna cackles. See, Wally, she's here. Can we please go to homeroom before this gets put on our permanent records? Wally's breath smells like M&Ms when he jerks his eyes away from Artemis's and splutters out,
"Yeah, right, okay,"
and gingerly pushes Artemis off of him.
"Why aren't you guys in class?"
Artemis asks, a bit abrasively, wincing at her skinned knees and rapidly scooping all of her school supplies back into her bag. Oliver is going to kill her for blemishing her princess joints.
"Because I don't feel like going, naturally, and Mr. Wholesome Upbringing here spent so long getting on my case that he wound up losing time too,"
Zatanna replies immediately, grabbing her at the wrist and hoisting her up. "Real genius, this one. All I'm saying is, he definitely didn't get that neurotic stuff from my side of the family." Artemis flushes, glancing at Wally's rumpled blazer and tie and general disheveled appearance thanks to their collision.
"So unfair."
And, after a beat too long, she forces herself to snap her attention back to Zatanna.
"Do we seriously have to walk with him?" she hisses.
Zatanna shrugs flippantly, smoothing back her immaculate French braid.
"Yes, Your Highness," she snips back, which makes Artemis bristle.
"Okay, can we go now?" Wally calls, already 10 paces ahead of them. Zatanna and Artemis groan in unison before jogging to catch up to him.
"Wally, we're already late. We can't get any later," Zatanna sighs.
Wally gives her an incredulous look.
"Oh, sure, of course we can't, if you just disregard the entire concept of space and time," he yells.
"Wally, can you please pretend that you have a life for just one moment?" Zatanna deadpans.
"No."
Wally sticks his nose in the air.
"Wow, okay, if you are going to get all frothing science nerd on me, I am so out of here,"
Zatanna exclaims, putting her hands up. "Artemis, good luck. Wally, you're an embarrassment to the family. See you guys in English." If this had happened maybe 2 days before, Artemis would have gone into full tilt panic. But seeing as how it's happening now, and seeing as how one can't live with one's finger everlastingly on one's pulse, she's never been more grateful for Wally's frothing science nerd side. So she grabs him by the sleeve, yanks him to a halt, locks eyes with him, and barks, "Class with me." It goes over better than expected, all things considered. So, yeah, Bruce Wayne is probably never going to forgive her for this. It's probably going to totally ruin his life, and she'll be the biggest letdown to ever roam the halls of Gotham Academy. But the thing is, she's pretty sure, maybe about 56% sure, that this is going to be worth it. And Bruce Wayne doesn't even know how hard she's been working to keep up appearances for his stupid school. So she has earned this moment of truancy, thank you very much. They walk 4 blocks in total, absolute silence. Wally unknots his tie halfway there and takes his blazer off so he's carrying it over his shoulder with one hooked finger, and he keeps his eyes on the sidewalk. When they reach a viable burger joint, Artemis swats his arm and jerks her head toward it, and he shrugs apathetically, but he still holds the door open for her, which she guesses is a pretty good sign. They eat their entire meal in total silence, too. Wally finishes his cheeseburger in record time, and Artemis can only really eat like half of hers before she loses her appetite, and then they both just sit there, pointedly staring around at everything except each other. So, Wally clears his throat, and Artemis knows her time is up. What's the deal here? Deal? Artemis replies flippantly.
What deal?
Why did you kidnap me and buy me lunch?
Wally expounds, giving her a flat look.
He doesn't append it with any kind of cocky commentary about how she clearly can't resist him, which kind of makes her ribs tighten unpleasantly. Artemis shifts in her seat.
Well, I wanted to explain what happened.
She manages to eke out. When she closes her eyes.
When I stood you up for homecoming.
Wally doesn't say anything, but there's something in his silence that's unrepentantly hopeful and wholly expectant, and Artemis takes a single deep breath.
The truth is, she starts to blurt out, but then she remembers that they are in a public place, and this is top secret intel, and blowing her cover would mean like a million years in the Vlatava Castle dungeons, and the waitress could be an undercover assassin from Elazia.
The truth is, I need a pen.
Wally blinks at her. Your bag is, right there.
Artemis blinks back, lifts her elbow, looks at her book bag, which is resting against her leg.
Crap. He's right.
Right, she says, a little too tightly. She rummages around the front pocket and yanks out a ballpoint pen, sliding her napkin over. She takes a deep breath, like it'll somehow keep her heart from backflipping up her throat, and, before she can change her mind, scribbles down the words she's been rehearsing for days, but still sound more insane than they had when she'd first heard them. The truth is, I'm a princess. She pushes the napkin over to him. He surreptitiously slides it under the corner of his plate and glances down at it. He stares at it for what feels like an hour and a half, his expression totally neutral. The cash register dings. The clock over the bar prods little ticks into the white noise of the restaurant. And thunder rolls through the sky outside, muffled by the windows. And Artemis thumps her heels rhythmically against the floor. Wally extends his hand to her, and she frowns dubiously at it. Does he want her to hold it? She starts to lift her own, and he pulls a face, recoiling. He points to the pen in her fingers. Artemis feels her face plunge into hellish heat. Of course. Of course! Go get trampled by a herd of wild horses, Artemis! It'd be so much less painful. She passes it stiffly, and he takes it. He scrolls onto the napkin silently, and Artemis tries to ignore the sweat on the back of her neck, and then he slides the napkin back over with his first and middle fingers. Artemis glances at it, and her face drops into a glower.
Yeah, then I'm Speedy Gonzalez.
I'm serious, she hisses, stung. The hurt look on Wally's face, though, is making her worried.
You don't have to lie to me to get out of going to some stupid dance with me, Artemis, he tells her coldly. Honestly, if the real explanation is just that you didn't want to, I'd prefer that.
She rips the pen from his hand and almost tears the napkin paper in her haste to write back. You are such an idiot, you know that? I don't even know why I told you. It's supposed to say a secret until December 2nd, but I got so sick of keeping secrets from everyone. From you! That I just broke my oath of secrecy with the King of Vlatava, and you have the gall to call me a liar? My name is Artemis Liankop Gai Queen, currently the only viable heir to the throne of Vlatava. The uncle who's visiting is the king, and he's been giving me lessons every day, so that's why I haven't been around, and I couldn't come to homecoming because Uncle Oliver found my cousin Roy, the only other possible heir right now since my older sister ran away, which, hey, I've only just found out the reason for.
She flips the napkin over and notices something hot and wet drip from her face onto the paper.
Wally's gawking at her like she's aflame. And
it came down to choosing between my commitment to you for a high school dance and my duty to my country to try and find it a monarch. So excuse me for trying to keep all of this under my hat because I got ordered to by a king, but I'm telling you right now, before anyone else, before the press, before the United Nations, before my best friend, because I trust you, Wally, don't you get it? And you know why? Because you're...
She runs out of room on the napkin. Out of breath for no apparent reason, she picks it up and flings it across the table at him before folding her arms and sinking angrily down into the booth seat. She's shaking, so she grips her upper arms as tightly as she can to quell herself. But it doesn't really do much. Wally's eyes scan the front side of the napkin, then the back, then the front again, then the back again. A wide array of reactions flicker across his face, most of them lasting too fleetingly for Artemis to decipher them. But she definitely catches a spark of dawning comprehension, a crash of guilt, a bare stitch of a rising smile that falls into a dumbstruck gape. "That's why," he finally starts to say. And when he looks up, his eyes are wide, and his voice is hushed and unsteady. "Yeah," Artemis replies, but it comes out as more of an exhale than a spoken word. "Oliver told me that if it got out to the media before we could do it formally, it'd totally trash my reputation, plus Vltava's, plus his. The only person who knows beside you now is my mom. And Oliver and Dinah. And Roy, I guess. And me, but..." She cuts herself off, jerking her gesticulating hands down and focusing her eyes on a ketchup stain on the table. Because locking gazes with him is the absolute last thing she wants to do with her life right now. "I don't know. I would have told you sooner," she mumbles. "But besides the whole sworn to secrecy thing, I guess I thought it'd..." She shakes her head. The words aren't coming. "I guess things started getting kind of okay. With us, I mean. And I figured that dropping that bomb on you would have ruined it. I mean, who would I have been kidding? You barely know me. You barely know anything about me. And having me tell you, 'Oh, hey, by the way, I'm heir to the throne of Vltava. What's the English homework?' Let's face it. You would have either laughed at me or just used it as another excuse to get on my case. And it just felt nice being normal. Everything kept happening so fast and getting worse, but you made me feel normal." She sighs, biting her lip back. "So maybe it wasn't just feeling normal that was good for me. Maybe it was feeling normal with you. So, I mean, even if you're never going to talk to me again, and I totally get it if you don't, after all the screwing up I've done, I guess I might as well say thanks." Wally doesn't say anything for what feels like a long, long time. Artemis doesn't dare look up at him, doesn't dare even move. "I think I'm the one who should be saying thanks," he finally tells her. Her eyes dart up. He's smiling at her, flushed cheeks and mischievous green eyes and a spray of freckles on his nose that turn her heart into a kick drum. "What for?" she snorts. "Well, isn't it obvious, your worshipfulness?" Wally grins complacently, leaning back and linking his hands at the back of his head, looking more like Han Solo than she had thought him capable of. "For the pizza." His smile broadens, and he winks at her. And it's then, right then, as peals of thunder bruise the skies outside, that Artemis knows she's forgiven.
"You're a what?"
Zatanna shrieks.
"Princess of Vltava,"
Artemis replies, wincing. She can hear her mom chuckling from down the hall.
"Okay,"
Zatanna says weakly.
"I am sure that in a few weeks that's going to be some tabloid somewhere saying that you birthed the two-headed baby with my cousin, but the biggest scandal there will ever be is the fact that you didn't tell me!"
She squeals, jumping up and down.
"This is amazing!"
"Why are you so nonchalant, Grayson?" Artemis demands of Dick,
who has been taking in all of the information with the same serene smile. He shrugs.
I knew, he says simply.
Artemis narrows her eyes at him, but sighs.
Of course you did.
Mr. Carr gives them back their country case studies on Monday, November 21st, and Artemis got an A-.
Suck it, wacky and anachronistic Vlatovan history books!
Apparently, he would have given her an A+, but he didn't like her color coordination on the poster board. Whatever, Mr. Carr. At least she didn't make the fake Asia pun. She's pretty sure that's why Marvin White got a C. It suddenly dawns on her, though, as she walks to Oliver's with Zatanna and Dick and Wally. She can do that now, because they know. Except Oliver doesn't know they know. But hey, Artemis kept this whole princess thing a secret for 2 months. She can keep the awareness of her friends a secret for a week. That this is her second-to-last week of lessons. The schedule had said that this is the week that she gets to choose her subject. So she's racking her brain for ideas and only half listening to Dick and Wally babble animatedly about how they're going to ring Bruce Wayne's office door to drop a bucket of water on him.
Classic Wally guffaws.
While Zatanna punctuates the plans with perfectly executed scoffs. Come hang out after, Zatanna calls over her shoulder when they all pass Oliver's villa and Artemis branches off.
Yes, Artemis,
Dick agrees with a leer,
nudging Wally pointedly. Come hang out after.
Shut up, Wally hisses, but he looks back when the three of them walk away and smiles.
RVM.
Artemis greets Dinah and Oliver with a curtsy when she walks into the study, but there's an apple clenched between her teeth that she'd grabbed from the kitchen, so it comes out kind of incomprehensible.
Kyle's class.
Paldia Slavi, Dinah replies. But Oliver shakes his head disappointedly without looking up from his daily newspaper.
Nice try, he says. Lose the apple and do it again.
Ugh, cut her some slack, all. Dinah sighs, then turns back to Artemis. You did fine, Artemis. Sit down. Oliver snaps his newspaper closed and drops it into his lap, giving Dinah a sour look.
Dash it all, Dinah! The ball's in 2 weeks! She needs to be on her toes!
He exclaims, slapping his knee for emphasis.
Do it again, Artemis.
Artemis does do it again. And again. And again. And about 5 more times. And then she almost strangles Oliver right there in front of at least 1 witness. But Dinah holds her back and insults Oliver and Vlatovan, and Artemis has to accept that for catharsis.
So, Oliver segues after Artemis has been shoved fuming into a chair by Dinah. What would you like to learn this week, Artemis?
Artemis blinks, her eyes darting to Dinah, then back to Oliver, then to Dinah again. How'd you guys meet? She settles on asking first, smirking.
And oh my god! Dinah's cheeks actually turn pink.
Artemis, you chose the perfect question. Oliver looks just as flustered as Dinah does, his face ruddy beneath the goatee. He clears his throat, covering his mouth with his fist, and glances furtively at Dinah, who Artemis sees out of the corner of her eye, nods to him.
Well, we,
He blusters out, his hand flying to the back of his neck.
It was a long time ago. I hardly remember.
1988, Dinah interjects. I was 15, you were 17. It was in Markovia for your birthday party. Oliver blinks at her, and so does Artemis. After a second, he blows out a sigh and slackens slightly, fixing her with a tender smile.
All right, he murmurs.
You'd think his memory would work a little better, Dinah says primly, considering I saved his life.
My life would have been perfectly safe without your help, Oliver exclaims.
Dinah looks up sharply, her eyes thinning.
I'd like to see you tell that to the AK-47 that was aimed right between your eyes, she snaps. The one that I took down with my bare hands, incidentally, from that assassin buddy of yours. What was his name?
Needham, Oliver grits out.
Urk, Needham, and my staff could have gotten me out of harm's way with plenty of time to spare. I lost my cake because of you.
Better that than your life, I've always said, but you have an incredible talent for making me reconsider that verdict, Diana retorts.
Aside to Artemis, but still audibly, she adds. He was so embarrassed that a pretty commoner had done a better job of saving his neck than his army of goons that he refused to acknowledge that I'd done anything, and he still hasn't gotten over it. Typical petty teenage behavior.
She shoots Oliver an icy look.
But the government put me into the Secret Service right away, because at least someone in that little circle had a scrap of brains. And as soon as the monarchy was reinstated, his parents hired me to be his personal bodyguard. Haven't been allowed by law to even let him go to the bathroom unsupervised since.
Wow, Artemis chirps with relish, grinning brightly up at Oliver.
That's a great story, Uncle Oliver.
Oliver grumbles and strokes his goatee with extreme fervor. Artemis has deduced recently that it's therapeutic for him, kind of like Arsenal's habit of licking himself so relentlessly that his fur comes out. I've been walking the palace halls and sitting through international flights with this numbskull since I was 19, Dida elaborates with a shake of her head. She smirks over at Artemis. And he's only kissed me 4 times.
Dina!
Oliver barks, sputtering. So, wait! Artemis leans back in the couch, folding her arms and glancing triumphantly between the two of them.
Why are you guys not married, exactly?
Dina hums pensively, turning a coquettish stare to Oliver.
Gee, she drawls. That's a great question, isn't it, Oliver? We should discuss that sometime.
Oliver bristles enormously, his lips working against each other so that his mustache puffs up over his lip, before visibly deflating and hanging his head.
Artemis, he ekes out, why don't you go make us some tea? And, like, yeah, every attempt that Artemis has made to brew any kind of Latavan beverage has ended in either a fire or a terrible smell, but she figures that the fact that Oliver is using such a flimsy excuse to get her out of the room is probably important, so she does as she's told. She hears a lot of weird noises coming from the other side of the door when she walks back with a tray of china, so she uses her street smarts to her advantage and just leaves the tray on a table, grabs her bag out of the hallway, and bolts. Definitely the wise diplomatic choice.